Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos Kuf Aleph. We are on the very bottom of Kuf Amud Beis. Continuing our discussion from yesterday in the Gemara regarding drawing water from the ocean into a boat. The Mishnah on Kuf Amud Beis, two Mishnahs, the second Mishnah on the Amud Beis, gives us the basic halachas regarding transferring from the ocean to the to Rishus Rabim and from the ocean to a boat. The ocean has the status of a karmel. The ocean min haTorah is not defined as a domain. It's not a Rishus Yachin, nor is it a Rishus Rabim. It is in the middle, it's the Carmelis, it's the rabbinic domain that we've been discussing time and again while discussing this, while discussing the basics of Hotza'ah. And obviously, as part of the Din D'Rabban of a Carmelis, one cannot transfer from a Carmelis neither to Rishus Yachid, nor can one transfer from a Carmelis to Rishus Rabim. And that's exactly what the Mishnah taught us. The Mishnah says that by transferring from the Yam to the Yabasha, so one would be Chayiv, and similarly, one would be Pater, sorry, it's a Carmelis, and one would, if one transferred from the Yam to the Sfina, so that also would be Pater of Al Aser. The Mishnah then went into another, a couple of other halachas regarding boats, which we're going to get to a little bit later on, but right now let's just sit on this particular halacha, and let's go back over what we learned in yesterday's daf. What if you want to be drawing water from the ocean onto the boat? And conversely, what if you want to deposit water from the boat back into the ocean? Water that was used and no longer good. So how do you do that? So the Gemara yesterday brought down a machlokas amaraim, exactly how you do that. Machlokas between Rav Huna versus Rav Chista and Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Rav Huna is of the opinion that if you want to draw water from the ocean onto the boat, so all you need to do is a ziz kol shehu, a plank. Just simply put some sort of wooden plank over the side of the boat, and that would be sufficient. Meaning, you don't need any kind of halachic mechanism. You just simply were going to be able to draw from the side of the boat onto the boat. Now, why should that be? So if we go back over yesterday's daf, so we remind ourselves, the ocean does have the status of a karmelis. But where exactly is it measured from? Where does the karmelis begin? So Rav Huna is of the opinion that the karmelis begins at the bed of the ocean, at the floor of the ocean. And so therefore the boats in general, and we established this yesterday, the boats in general are going in water that is minimally 10 tefachim deep. As we've gone over, when the Chachamim gave definition to a karmelis, they treat it in this aspect like a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim only goes up 10 tefachim. Therefore, the Carmelis also only goes up 10 tefachim. And that means to say that while the boat now is in the water and you're drawing from the surface area of the water, so then you're not actually taking from a Carmelis because that's already a Makom Pater. So Rav Huna says the truth of the matter is you don't need anything really to allow yourself to draw from the water onto the boat, because while you're drawing from the top of the water, the surface area of the water, so the truth of the matter is that it's just a transfer from a makom pater onto Rishus HaYachin. Nevertheless, ziz kol shehu, just something to remind yourself that what you're doing, although perfectly legitimate, perfectly okay, is something similar to drawing from a karmelis, and so therefore ziz kol shehu. That's the opinion of Rav Huna. On the other hand, Rav Chista, Rabba Rav Huna says that when we say that the ocean is a karmelis, where are we measuring from? We're measuring from the actual surface area of the ocean. The surface area of the ocean is the beginning of the karmelis status of the ocean. As a result of that, when you're drawing from the water on the ocean, you're drawing from a karmelis. Now you're transferring from a karmelis to Rishus HaYachid. You're not allowed to do that. That's asur midrabanan. Therefore, what do you do? So Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna are of the position that what you're going to do is you're going to make a box. Obviously, the box is going to be hollow because you want to go draw water through it. But what you're going to do off the side of the boat is you're going to be making a box, an area of 4x4 tefachim. And the box is going to drop down a little bit off the side of the boat. In doing so, you have now created a Rishus HaYachid. Now, admittedly, there's no base for the Rishus HaYachid. This the Rishus HaYachid is just simply a compartment of 4x4 where you're going to be dropping a bucket through it into the water. But as we're going to be discussing in some detail today, this is what's called a mechitza tluya. It's a suspended wall, meaning once the walls start off the side of the boat, the walls are going to continue down to the ground. And so therefore, what you're now going to be able to do is draw from the water, because the water is in the area of this box off the side of the boat. That area now is defined as a Rishos Yachin, and you're transferring from one Rishos Yachin to another Rishos Yachin. This is all the discussion that we saw yesterday regarding how to draw water off the side of the boat. Now, if we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday, Amalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak L'Rav Chia Bar Avin, Amalei Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak L'Rav Chia Bar Avin, L'Rav Chisla L'Rav Bar Rav Huna Da'ami Ose Makom Arbal Mamalei, Shofchin Didei Hechisha Diluhu. So now picking it up where we left off yesterday, so the Gemara's question goes like this. Okay, so now I understand how they're able to draw water up onto the boat. But the Gemara wants to know, how are they going to throw water off the side of the boat? Now the Gemara is asking specifically to the Shitas Rav Chisa and Rav Huna. The Gemara is not asking for Rav Huna. And probably the reason why is because Rav Huna, it's pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Meaning when you're drawing the water in, you just need a ziz kol shehu. You just need something coming off the boat. So what would be the big deal now to have another ziz protruding off another side of the boat so that the incoming water can be taken in from one side of the boat, and the shofech, and the water that you are dismissing, that you are that you're throwing out, is thrown off the other side of the boat. However, according to Rav Chisda and Rav Abba Rav Huna, what you're doing is you're making a significant structure in order to get the water in. So what are you going to do? You're going to make another significant structure in order to throw the water off the side of the boat? Now, the answer could be yes, but the Gemara wants to know, is there another way to do it? And the Gemara says, now what about using the same structure? But the Gemara says, but that's of course disgusting. The Gemara says, it's simply disgusting, right? It's like we all know that in our modern lives that we live in and in our modern conveniences, we have separate pipes that bring water to us. And of course, we have separate pipes that take the water away from us. And you're not sharing the same pipe. And so the Gemara says, you're not going to be sharing the same structure for the water that's coming onto the boat as the water that we are dumping over the side of the boat. So the Gemara says, fine. So what are we going to do now in terms of the water that we want to get rid of? Yishandi lehu adaftan desfina. So the Gemara says that what you're going to do is that you're going to throw it off the side of the boat, but specifically you're going to throw it against the side of the boat and let the water trickle down. Now the Gemara says, how did that help? Vaha ika kocho. The Gemara asked the question, but wait one second. But we all know what's going to happen, and that of course is gravity. Meaning, what are you arguing right now? Well, I'm not throwing the water, I'm not throwing my wastewater into the ocean. I'm throwing it against the boat. But we all understand. But that what's going to happen is that gravity is going to pull it down, and you are effectively pouring the water into the, pouring the wastewater into the ocean. So the Gemara says, Kocha b'karmelis lo gazru. So the Gemara says, yeah, this falls into the category of koach. Meaning, this is going to be a direct result of your action. That's true. But being that you are not throwing the wastewater directly into the ocean, and being that there's a step in between, the Gemara now describes it as koach, and the Gemara says that koach is not part of the gzera d'rabban of Karmelis. Look, what we are describing over here is the transferring from a Rishos Yachid to a Karmelis. A Karmelis is a rabbinic area. The Chachamim gave it all the rules and regulations in terms of how it behaves halachically. And one of the exceptions, one of the exclusions that's put into the Karmelis is that what you can do is you can transfer from Rishos Yachid to Karmelis if you're not doing so directly, you're doing so in a somewhat indirect manner. What the Gemara here is describing, Koach is not part of the Gzera Derabanan of Karmelis. Now the Gemara says, now how do I know that? Umenat Tamer D'Tanya. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa over here, not super clear, but as we go through the Braisa, we're going to tease it out of the Braisa. The Braisa over here is going to speak to this idea that Karmelis does not have included in it the transfer al yedei koach. The Gemara starts off with the Braisa as we are on the last line of Kuf Amud Beis. D'tanya, the Gemara quotes, Sfina ein metautel en lo mitochal yam, velo min hayam letocham. One cannot transfer from the boat into the ocean, not from the ocean into the boat. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, amoka asara ve'in gvoa asara. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's have the following circumstance. Let's say the boat itself is 10 tefachim deep. So that means to say that the boat itself is a Rishos Yachid. And ein gavoa asara. As the boat now is in the water, so the distance between the deck of the boat and the actual surface of the area of the water is less than 10 tefachim. So then here's what you can do. Mitautla mitocha liyam. What you could do is you could take water and you can send it from the boat into the ocean. Avalomine yam latocha. But you can't bring water up from the ocean onto the boat. Now the Bryce, this Bryce Rashitas Rav Yehuda over here is not taking into consideration making some sort of box along the side of the boat. He's just simply describing that if you have not made any adjustment whatsoever, so and you have not made any attachment whatsoever, this is the rules regarding what you can and cannot do. You can throw water off to the side, but you cannot bring water onto the boat. Now, Rashi over here makes a number of points, and let's go through the points of Rashi here very carefully regarding why Rav Yehuda gives specifically these dimensions. The boat being 10 tefachim deep, the distance between the deck of the boat and the surface area of the water is less than 10 tefachim. Why was all that necessary? So take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi writes, Avat lo minayam lesocha, de'in tashmish minayam lesocha derech defanos, she'imim seviyashlich ala defanos yardu lekarkios esfina. So the Gemara says, what you cannot do, says Rashi, is you cannot throw water off the side of the boat because, of course, what's going to happen is, you can't draw water into the boat because if, let's say, you try to go through the side, meaning if you're trying to bring the water up through the side of the boat, of course, it's just going to fall back down to the ground again. That thing called gravity. And Rashi then continues, first of all, says Rashi, well, let's say the boat was not 10 tefachim deep, meaning that the entire boat from the bottom to the top is not 10 tefachim deep. So Rashi says, actually, that would obviate our whole issue, because then what would be the status of the boat? If you have a structure that's less than 10 tefachim deep, so that is a karmelus. And so Rashi says, so then what would the question now become? Transferring from the boat karmelus to the ocean karmelus. And Rashi says you'd be allowed to do that. Now you cannot traverse more than 4 amos in a karmelus, which actually we're going to be discussing a little bit later on this morning. But if the boat was less than 10 tefachim deep, the boat would be a karmelus, and then transfer would be totally fine from the boat to the ocean. Then Rashi continues. Now, v'ein gavoa nami yud dafka naka. Now, the idea that the distance between the deck of the boat and the surface area of the water is less than 10 tefachim, Rashi says that's specific as well. The igva yud mutal atalta min yam lesocha, the mikarmel rishus yach derech makam pater kamatalto, the tzarech lagbia es yadol lamal miyud, the afagav de rishus the rice me rishus haram le rishus yach mechai bechi agavna, karmel smi ad rabban lo gazer. Rashi writes that if the deck of the boat was more than 10 tefachim off the surface area of the water, Rashi would say under those circumstances, actually it would be perfectly okay to transfer from the ocean to the boat. Why? So Rashi says, because consider, as we've already established, a karmelus only goes up 10 tefachim, halachically no more than that. And even if we're measuring the karmelus of the ocean from the surface area of the ocean, nevertheless, it's only going up 10 tefachim. Above that now is a makom pater. If the deck of the boat was higher than 10 tefachim off the surface area of the water, so now, let's think about this transfer. You're starting with the water, which is a karmelus. You're moving it through the 10 tefachim of the karmelus. But if the deck were higher than 10 tefachim, you then, by definition, would also be moving it through a makom pater. And then bringing it onto the boat, which would be a rishus hayachid. And so, you're going karmelus, makom pater, rishus hayachid. Rashi says that would be fine. That would be perfectly legitimate. Now Rashi reminds us that we go back to the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Ches. Now we did learn that you cannot go from Rishus Yachid Makom Pater Rishus Rabim and the converse as well. Rashi says that's true, but that's because even though Meikar Hadin, according to strict letter of the law, that would be fine because you're not going directly from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim. You're stopping in the Makom Pater, but nevertheless, the Chachamim understood once you start in that kind of behavior, you're going to move from Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid. But over here, we're beginning with an Isser Derabanan. We're beginning with a Gzera Derabanan. So over here, if I went Karmelus Makom Pater Rishus Yachid, so that would be fine. That would be okay. So that's why the dimensions over here are super specific, says Rashi, where the boat itself is a Rishus Yachid, and the distance between the deck of the boat and the water is less than 10 tefachim. Okay, a lot of important points coming out of Rashi. Now let's go back to the Gemara, because there's a reason why the Gemara brought this Brisa down. and taught us the halacha of Rav Yehuda. Now, again, in the scenario, what did Rav Yehuda say? What you're allowed to do is take wastewater and throw it off the side of this boat, but what you cannot do is you cannot bring water into the boat. And the Gemara's question now, as we are on the top of Kuf Aleph, is, now, why can I bring water onto the boat? Because that's a transfer from a karmelis to rishus yachid. So, but if I'm throwing the water off the side of the boat, am I not doing the same thing, just in the reverse? Aren't we going from rishus yachid to a karmelis? So, elalav achuda. Also, it must be that the way we're transferring from the boat to the ocean is by throwing it onto the side of the boat and then letting that water trickle down into the ocean. And the reason why that's okay is because that qualifies under the category of koach, of kochel. Now, why can't I do that in the reverse? So again, that goes back to the beginning of the Rashi that we just got done reading. And that is because physics won't allow that to happen. Gravity won't allow that to happen. I can't bring water up by just simply throwing it off to the onto the side of the boat because it's just simply going to drip back down again. But so bringing the water up, the only way to do it is to directly do it, and that would be an issur d'rabbanan. Throwing the water off the side of the boat, well, once I'm throwing it directly onto the outside of the boat and letting that water trickle down, that falls under the category of koach. The chachamim did not make a gzera on koach. Ad kan, that takes us to the end of the first sugya this morning. And so the Gemara says, now we understand that there is a way to take wastewater on the boat, rishus yachid, and throw it into the water, al yedei koach, as we just got done concluding, bring the water onto the boat. So again, we go back to the machlokas amoraim, exactly how to do that. If you subscribe to the idea that the ocean is a karmelis, which everyone subscribes to, so then we are dealing with bringing up from a karmelis onto rishus yachid, the boats of rishus yachid. And now it's a question of where are we beginning the measurement of the ocean being a karmelis? On the floor bed of the ocean, which in that case, then the surface area of the water is a makom pater, and then it would be perfectly okay. The only thing that Rav Huna says, because Rav Huna subscribes to this viewpoint, is that you have to have ziz ba'alma, just lay a plank over the side of the boat as just a heker ba'alma, but it's perfectly okay. Whereas according to the position of Rav Chis and Rav Abba Rav Huna, you cannot do that because the measurement of the karmelis, of the ocean karmelis, starts at the surface area. And now you're transferring from a karmelis onto a rishus yachid. You cannot do that. What you have to do is that you have to make a box off the side of the boat, serving as a rishus yachid. That is status of the rishus yachid drops down off the side of the boat, or directly over the ocean. That water can be pulled up through the box. Ad kan, that takes us for the first sugya of our Gemara. We're continuing in the Gemara Amar of Huna. Hanabitisa demeshan. So we are going to be dispending now a little over an amud of Gemara discussing the boats of Meshan. Now, they're called Bitisa. Now, we're going to work with Rashi's Psha. Rashi is not the only way to describe this situation. Here on our daf, Tosos gives a different description. In fact, the reason why is because Tosos is opposed to one point that Rashi makes, well, a couple, but one significant point that Rashi makes, which a little bit later on we're going to touch upon. But right now we're presenting the Gemara like Rashi, and the Gemara goes like this. Hani b'tisa demeshan, you have these small boats. Now Rashi describes them, these small boats, where they may in fact be 10 tefachim deep, but the boats are, let's call them exactly 10 tefachim deep. And the boats taper off on the bottom to basically where there's a V on the bottom. And so when I'm looking at this very small boat, and I'm looking at the bottom of the base of the boat, so there really is no base, meaning it's basically sitting on two tapered edges that come together. And so what I have over here is, I mean, we can all see the basic structure of such a boat, but in other words, it means to say that there really is no base. And under those situations, what is now going to be the status of the boat? Ein metaltalin bahen, ella bi'arba'a. You can't move an item around on that boat. Now, our Gemara has the word arba'a, which means four tfachim, but it sounds certainly seems like from Rashi that the girsa is arba, meaning four amos. It means to say that the status of the boat is going to be a karmelis and not a rishus hayachin. Velo amarn ella she'ein b'pachus mishlosha. Now, I'm sorry, before we get to the next points of the Gemara, why? Why is the boat not going to be considered a rishus hayachin? meaning the boats do have sides, and the area of the boat at the top of the deck is going to be certainly more than 4x4, meaning if the restrictions is that I can't walk more than 4 amas around on the boat, so certainly the deck area is sizable. So why is this not going to have a Rishus Yachid? And the answer is going to be the following. Because in order for in order to have the status of the Rishus Yachid, so not only do you have to have a walls, but the walls have to land on a base. A base that is going to be a minimum area of 4x4 tefachim. Again, as we've gone over time and again, the definition of Rishus Yachid is it's dalet by dalet, 4x4 tefachim, with walls going up 10 tefachim high. Here in this boat, you have the walls going up 10 tefachim high. But because the boat now is tapering down and coming down to a point or to a V, so at the bottom now you don't have a base. So these walls are not starting at any kind of base. And as a result of that, these walls are just kind of suspended in air halachically. And that's why it's not a Rishus Yachid. Now the Gemara, with this in mind, the Gemara says now a couple of conditions we're going to make. Now let's say, let's go to the very bottom of this boat, let's start with our V, and let's go up just 3 tefachim. If at any point in time where we've gone up 3 tefachim, and when we say 3 tefachim, we mean a little bit less than 3 tefachim. If we go up 3 tefachim, if at any point in time the base widens to the point where it is a makom dalet al dalet, that is considered a legitimate base. It's not the very bottom of the boat. Lava tells us that the first 3 tefachim from the very bottom, 3 tefachim up, the first 3 tefachim are considered the bottom. That's what Lava allows us to do. And so therefore, I measure from the very bottom. I go up 3 tefachim. If anywhere at that point in time, the base is expanded to where it is 4x4, so now you have a base and now it is a Rishus Yachid. And the Gemara also makes one other point. V'yimalinu kanivar ravavni leslamba. Now let's say I took my bottom of the boat, which was a V shape, and let's say we filled it. You filled it with sawdust, in other words, with material, with hard material. So what you can now do is that you can basically create a base of the boat. And now, as long as that filled area is a makum dalet al dalet, and the walls of the boat now from there go up 10 tefachim, now what you have is a Rishus Yachid. Good. So we're starting our discussion over here regarding these small boats. That with before the last 2 points of the Gemara, the basic point over here is that because the boats tapered, because they're small, and the walls taper inward, and it comes down to a V, to a point, so we have walls that don't have a base to them, and therefore these boats do not qualify as a Rishus Yachid. The boats are an area of a karmelus. And that's why Rav Huna starts off by saying that if you're now on the deck of the boat, so you can't carry around on the boat. Meaning, in a karmelus, one cannot traverse with an item more than 4 amos. We discussed that at the beginning of the Masechta and the first sugya, and that's what the Gemara over here is based on. Maskala Rav Nachman Valema Good Achiz Mechitzasa. So the Gemara says, okay, so even as we're looking at these walls as suspended walls, so why don't we employ the idea of Good Mechitzta? Good Mechitzta is the idea, I'm sorry, Good Achiz. Good Achiz is the idea that these walls over here, even though they don't have a base to them, but they are walls, and can't the walls just simply halachically continue down? And this topic comes up extensively in Erevin, also comes up in Sukkah as well, and here at the end of the 11th parak, we're going to now be just spending some time on today's daf discussing this issue about walls continuing downward halachically or continuing upward halachically. Upward, good asik. Downward, good achis. So why don't we say that these walls continue down? So even though there's no base to the boat, but if halachically these walls continue down, eventually they're going to hit the floor of the ocean. And isn't that enough now to create a halachic Rishus Yachid? Milo Tanya, the Gemara says, did we not learn the following braisa? Reb Yosef, Reb Yehuda, Omer, Natz, Kanab Rishus Rabim, Verosho Traskal, Vizar Penach, Al-Gabav Chayef. Remember the case we discussed this in the beginning of the Masechta. Back on Dav Hey, where I stick a pole in the ground. Now the pole obviously in of itself is not a Rishus Yachid. But on the pole, we secure a basket on the top of the pole. The basket is an area 4x4. The basket's got walls on the side of it. And we said that if you throw into that basket, you're throwing into Rishus Yachid. Ama amina gud achis michitzasa. Hachanami name gud achis michitzasa. Now, the reason why the basket is treated like a Rishus Yachid is because the walls continue downward. So So even though the basket in of itself is a makum dalid and it's got walls, but the reason why that entire area now defines as a Rishos Yachid is because those walls continue all the way down to the ground. And now what you have is a Rishos Yachid based on the principle of good achis. Once we've established that with the basket, why don't we say the same thing over here when it comes to our small boats? Yes, it's true, the small boats don't halachically have a base to them. And that part's true, but the walls on the side of the boat just simply drop down and hit the ocean floor and now create a Rishos Yachid. So Maskel Rav Yosef Velo Shmi Aluhuda Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Umatama Mishem Rabbi Chia Vitzini Allah. Now the Gemara says, look, the proof that you've given would have been a good proof had that been a unanimous position. But it's not a unanimous position. We have coming to us either through Rav Yehuda Amar Rav or through Rabbi Chia the following brisa, which is v'chachamim pochim. The chachamim say that when you take an item, throw it to the top of the basket, you're not violating Shabbos. It's not an isur daraisa. The basket is not defined as a rishos yachid because they don't subscribe to the idea that the walls of the basket just simply drop down, descend down in order to create the rishos yachid. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand how you could bring that as a proof when not everyone agrees to the position of Rav Yosi b'Rav Yehuda. In fact, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda is a Shitas Yachid over here, and the Chachamim disagree with Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda. So how can that be a proof? Amalei Abaye Va'atlotiz Brevatanya. Now Abaye says, now you don't hold this way. Let's take the following brice into consideration. Amud B'Rishos HaRabim Gavo Asar V'Rachav Dalin. So let's say you have over here a pillar in the Rishos HaRabim. Now the pillar over here, at the top point of the pillar, has all the dimensions of a Rishos Yachid. It is 10 Tvachim high, and it is 4 by 4 wide. So this pillar now is the Rishos Yachid. However, one thing. Ein b'ikaro dalin. V'yesh b'katsu shlo gimel. V'zarek v'nach agabav chayev. It happens to taper in a little bit. Not like the boat, where the boat tapers in all the way to the point where it gets to a V. Over here, it tapers in a little bit, so that when you get to the bottom of this pillar, the bottom of the pillar is less than 4x4. Now, not much less than 4x4, but still less than 4x4. And that's true, said the Braisa, for the last 3 tefachim, meaning from the ground, going 3 tefachim up, there is no base area of this pillar of 4x4. Only as it moves upward does it expand to get to an area of 4x4. Now here in this Braisa, the Braisa says that if I throw onto the top of this pillar from a Rishos HaRabim, that would be a malacha, one would be chayv in doing so. Why should that be? Alma, so the Gemara says it's clear from this Braisa. I mean, a good achis mechitzasa. Hachanami, good achas mechitzasa. So over there in the case of the pillar, we're saying good achis. So here in the case of the boat, we should also be saying good achis as well. Now, mida irya. Now, the Gemara says, now the cases are not perfectly comparable. Hasam havile mechitza shagidim bokimba. Hacha havile mechitza she'en agidim bokimba. You see, the case of the basket and the case of the pillar that we just learned are not similar to one another. Now, I'll show you the Rashi on the Amud Beis. Rashi says, this is all Abaye making this point, meaning the Gemara is not changing narration. We're not moving to another Amora. Abaye is making all of the above points that we just learned up to and including what we just read. And that means to say that as follows. The cases are not comparable because the case of the basket, look, what is creating the dimensions of the Rishos HaYachid? Everything is just sitting on a very thin pole. And the basket's resting on the top of the pole. And the walls are coming down. But before I get to the butt. And good achis allows us to say that the sides of the basket continue downward to create the Rishos Yachid. So we have now a halachic reality of walls coming down to create a Rishos Yachid. However, if the entirety of our walls is based on this halachic reality, but the halachic reality is negated by the fact that traffic can easily go underneath this basket. And the only obstruction is the pole, but the pole itself is very narrow. So the truth of the matter is that the halachic reality is negated by the fact that there's traffic going underneath. So over there, now it's not clear whether this is the traffic underneath is removing the status min haTorah or min derabbanan, but nevertheless, the idea is that the traffic running underneath the basket is negating the halachic reality of good achis. On the other hand, in the case of the pillar, where the pillar is 4x4 towards the top, and towards the bottom, it's still pretty much a solid pillar. It just happens to be that it tapers in just a little bit. So there's still an impediment of traffic. Traffic is obstructed. You have nobody going underneath this pillar. And so therefore, it allows for the good achis principle to come down and drop down. So Abaye says that the cases of the pillar and the basket are not the same. Okay, so now that we have this distinction where we will say good achis, if generally speaking the traffic is obstructed and you're not going to have people or the Gemara's example or animals walking underneath, so then we will say good achis. However, if there is nothing obstructing traffic going underneath, so then we won't say good achis. That is all Abaye's point. Now that we've had Abaye's point, now we're going to take that and we're now going to try to translate that to our discussion. Our discussion over here is Bitzisa de Meshan, the small boats of Meshan. Now, the small boats of Meshan, so they have the walls of the boat, and the walls of the boat on the base of the boat are not creating Rishus Yachid because they taper in. Fine. But why do the walls of the boat just extend downward in order to create a halachic Rishus Yachid using the principle of good achis? And the question really now becomes, what is this more comparable to? Is this more comparable to the case of the pillar, where traffic underneath is unobstructed? Sorry. Where traffic underneath is obstructed? Or is this more similar to the case of the basket, where traffic underneath is unobstructed? So what is this case more similar to? Now, what Abaye is trying to argue is that it's really more similar to the case of the pillar. Because what's going underneath the boat? And what the Gemara is trying to argue right now is that there really is no traffic going underneath the boat, allowing for good achis to create the halachic walls. Now, there may be no animals, meaning land animals, going underneath the boat, but the Gemara over here is bothered by the fact, but there are fish that are underneath the boat. So much like you described how, when the goats are going underneath the basket, that takes away from the principle of good achis, disallowing the walls to drop down. So when it comes to the boat, and we're trying to say that the sides of the boat are going to continue downward to create the Rishus Yachid, aren't there fish that are swimming underneath? Amar Lei, the response is, Bikiyas Dagim Lo Shmei Bikiyah. Nah. Fish are not considered traffic. Rashi over here gives a very brief explanation of why that should be. Rashi writes three lines from the bottom, Bikiyas Dagim Lo Shmei Bikiyah, Lefi She'enam Nirin. Interesting explanation by Rashi. We don't see the fish. So in other words, this idea that traffic underneath removes good achis is a perceptual issue. It's the fact that the halachic walls coming down are negated by the fact that we see things going past that area, but because of the boat and we don't see the fish going underneath it, so the way Rashi describes it, so therefore it doesn't remove the status of good achis. And now the Gemara wants to know, now how do I know this? Let's say I have these suspended walls. Again, these suspended walls where there is wall structure on the top, there is no wall structure below it, and we want to now know, do we employ the principle of good achis to allow the walls to come down? The case over here is that you had a house. The house comes into a state of not total demolition, partial demolition. You're missing some of the walls towards the bottom of this ruined house. So do we get to say that because there still remains, obviously, a frame, otherwise there'd be no walls hanging on the top, but being that there are walls on the top, does the halacha allow the walls to come down? Amar Lei, and his response is, Ein mechitza tluya, Materis ella b'makom, ella b'mayim, b'mayim. Mechitza tluya is given an allowance, meaning the idea that you have suspended walls and the idea that the halacha allows for us to look at the walls as if they continue to drop down, that's true as it relates to water, meaning that the chachamim allowed it to allow the halacha of good achis to inform us that the walls continue downward, but only if it allows a person to get water on Shabbos. Kal hushi kilu chachamim b'mayim, the chachamim, understanding the need of water, gave an allowance, a dispensation for mechitza tluya by water. So the Gemara says, fine, so that's specific to when it comes to water. And therefore, when it comes to the chorva, when it comes to the ruined house, we're not going to be able to use the idea of Mechitza Tluya. But the Gemara now says, fine, but what have we just established? That Mechitza Tluya is allowed when it comes to water, much like our boat discussion. So the Gemara says, V'amai ha'ima ha'ika b'kiyas dagim el-shmai mena b'kiyas dagim lo-shmei b'kiya. Now, the fact of the matter is that as the walls are dropping down into the water, aren't there fish swimming in the water? And isn't the traffic of the fish going to be now negating the idea that the walls are coming down? And so the Gemara says, it must be that we are right, that when it comes to land traffic, like people and like animals on the land, so that negates the principle of good achas. But with the fish that are in the ocean are not negating the principle of good achas. And so ends our lengthy discussion of the Gemara regarding Bitzisa Demesha. A quick recap, the Gemara discusses now these Bitzisa Demesha, and the question now becomes, why do we not say, before we get to the question, Bitzisa Demesha, because even though on the deck area you have an area of dalad by dalad, a 4x4 tefachim, but what happens is that these small boats basically taper downward and inward. So when you get to the 10th fachim below, you are not working with a base of 4x4 tfachim. It comes down to a V. And as a result of that, these boats don't have a base of 4x4. And the walls are therefore not dropping down to a base of 4x4. And therefore it's not a Rishos Yachin. And the Gemara has spent now a little over a full Amud discussing, well, why don't we just simply say that the walls themselves should just drop down to the floor, and thereby creating a Rishos Yachid based on the idea of Mechitza Tluya, suspend the walls, and based on the idea of good Achis. And the Gemara went back and forth on this topic, and a question of whether this is comparable to the case of the basket. In the case of the basket where I have a pole, and I put a basket on top of the pole, and the walls halachically come down, but we know that is a point of contention. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda says that would be fine, but the Chachamim say that the basket is not a Rishos Yachid. The case of the pillar, where you have a large pillar and it's very wide at the top, 4x4 on the top, it tapers slightly inward. Under those circumstances, the pillar is a Rishos Yachid, because we do say that the mechitzas drop down. Abaye notes the distinction between these two cases. Abaye says that in the case of the pillar, there is no traffic that's going underneath, because the pillar, for the most part, is still there as you move down to the bottom of that pillar. And so therefore, traffic is obstructed, allowing for good achis, allowing for halachically the walls to come down. That's not true by the traskal, that's not true by the basket. And then the question became, regarding the case of the boat, is the boat going to be comparable to the case of the basket, to the case of the pillar? A discussion in the Gemara. The Gemara concludes on this topic. We are in Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, continuing in the Gemara now. Two more topics to discuss regarding the boats, and we finish with today's daf. Number one, the first topic is going to be the boats are tied together. Let's remind each other on the Mishnah that we learned yesterday. The Mishnah talked about boat hopping, going from one boat to another. If the boats are tied together, said the Mishnah, so then I can carry from one boat to another boat. Again, the boats are Rishos Yachid. So we're talking about going from one Rishos Yachid to another Rishos Yachid. We will be discussing this extensively in Masechta Erevin. Let's say it here clearly. When you have multiple Rishos Yachid owned by one person, then you can carry from one Rishos Yachid to another, totally unimpeded. There is nothing wrong with going from one Rishos Yachid to another owned by a single person. If that Rishos Yachid is owned by one person, another Rishos Yachid is owned by another person, so then, min haTorah, one can carry from one to the other. However, the Chachamim were concerned that once I get comfortable with the idea of taking from my private domain to your private domain, and then we're going to be moving it to another domain, private domain, but it's shared by a group of people, once we get comfortable with this idea, so then we're going to lose perspective, and then we're going to end up carrying into Rishos Rabbim. So the only way that the Chachamim allowed for a person to carry from one Rishos HaYachid to another Rishos HaYachid, owned by another person or owned by a group of people, is only if we made an Erev before Shabbos. Erev, which is our next Masechta, which we're going to be discussing extensively. But to say it right now, nice and succinctly, it basically unifies that Erev where everyone makes a contribution towards the Erev, and the Erev is placed in one of the Rishos HaYachid. Again, all this discussed in detail in Masechta Erevin. So that unifies everybody, so that now allows me to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another Rosh Hashanah Yachid. In the Mishnah, we talked about carrying from one boat to another. If the boats are tied together, I'm allowed to carry from one boat to another. The Gemara's question over here is simply Pshita. As we're on the top of Kufal from the base, four lines down, the Gemara wants to know, isn't that obvious? I'm a Rav, lo nitzucha, ala lahatir bitza shebineihem. So Rav says, well, maybe the boats themselves are tied together, but there's these small little boats that are actually sandwiched in between the large boats, and those little boats are not tied together. And maybe what the Mishnah allows you to do is not only hop from one large boat to another large boat, but even jump on the little boats in between. Amalei Rav Safra, Moshe, Shapir Kamart. So Rav Safra was amazed, somewhat shocked, that this came out of the mouth of Rava. And he describes him as Moshe, Moshe as a compliment, meaning you are the Gadol Hador. And I don't understand what I'm hearing right now. How could you make the suggestion that what the Mishnah means is that I'm going to be jumping from boat to boat, but there is these little intermediary boats sandwiched in between the large boats? The Mishnah doesn't say that. In fact, mitaltalin mizu lizu tanan. The Mishnah says that you're going from one large boat to another large boat. And the Mishnah makes no mention of that, and how could you suggest that that's the Pshat in the Mishnah? Ela amar Rav Safra, so Rav Safra says, lo nitzrucha ela arev ula taltal mizu lizu. So what the Mishnah is coming to introduce to us as a chiddush is that one is allowed to carry from one boat to another, even though they are owned by different owners. And what you could do is you can make an Erev Chatzeros, unifying the areas, so that allows you to carry from one boat to another. The chiddush is that not all boats are owned by the same person. They're owned by different people. And much like we make Erev Chatzeros to allow us to carry from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another on dry land, the same thing is true regarding the boats on the ocean, as long as I'm going directly from one boat to another, and as long as the boats are tied together, an Erev Chatzeros is allowed to be made. Uchid d'tanya, the Gemara quotes a braisa that is going to support this. Sfinos kashur zubazu, if the boats are tied together. Ma'arv and a metaltal mezulazu, you can make an Erev, allowing you to carry from one boat to another boat. Nifzika, now if the rope that are tied the boats together have broken, ne'esru. So now these boats are no longer considered unified, and the Erev no longer works. Chazru v'nikshiru. Now, if the boats get retied, now of course, boats are not allowed to be tied on Shabbos. No nafs are allowed to be tied on Shabbos, and in a moment we're going to ask the question: How could that happen? But it happened. So nikshiru, if they were tied together, bein shogig and bein mezidin, whether it was done unintentionally, whether it was done intentionally. Bein anusim, bein mutan, whether it was done under duress or it was done mutan. Now, literally, mutan means a mistake over here. Rashi describes it as being a misasik. You weren't really interested in tying these particular ropes. You were interested in doing another activity. It's a little bit difficult to understand exactly what else you were doing. And then by accident, you ended up tying these ropes. But regardless, the point is, it doesn't matter how these ropes got retied. Chazru le'etera and harisha. So since we start off the Shabbos with an Erev Chatzeros, now even though the boats became untied and during the interim period, while the boats are untied, you cannot carry from one boat to another, and the Erev is not going to be able to function. Nevertheless, if for whatever reason the boats gets retied, so then you are, in fact, the Erev now is going to be back in force, and you can carry from one boat to another. And the same thing is true regarding drop walls. Literally mats that are spread out. But basically these are makeshift walls. So you have now these different sections of a building and presumably owned and occupied by different people. And then what happens is that you made an error of allowing you to be able to carry from one quadrant to another quadrant, and then niglalu, and then somebody rolled up the mats, so nasru. So now, no longer is each person's rishus going to be compartmentalized, and so therefore it is going to be usher to carry from one area to another, as there is no longer any definition of whose area belongs to whom. Chazru v'nifreshu, if the machatzalos were spread out again, bein shogigin, bein mezidin, bein anusin, bein mutan, and it doesn't matter if it was done unintentionally, intentionally, under duress or misasik, chazru le'etan rishon, they go back to the original heter. Shekol mechitza shenasa b'Shabbos ben mishogeg ben memezin shema mechitza. A mechitza that is made on Shabbos, whether it was done unintentionally or intentionally, still has the halachic status of being a mechitza. Anyway, what comes out from this brisa, it was a longer brisa, is that the idea is that once the boats are tied together, you can make an erev chatzeros, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah, that when the boats are tied together, you can make an erev chatzeros. Continues the Gemara, Imi v'amar Rav Nachman loshenu ela lizrok aval atatal aser. Now we said that when a wall is made on Shabbos, it is a wall. And it doesn't matter whether it was done made b'shogig or b'mezid. And therefore, it allows you to be able to carry in that area because the walls now are back up. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav Nachman taught us that if you make walls on Shabbos, it is a wall. The area circumscribed by the wall is the Rishus Yachid, but only to hurt you, not to help you. Meaning, if you throw an item from Rishus Rabbit into this newly formed area, into this newly formed Rishus Yachid, you're going to be chayv in doing so. But you're certainly not allowed to enjoy that area. You can't carry in that area because the walls were made on Shabbos. So how could it be that the Brisa just got done teaching us that if the walls were constructed on Shabbos, you can carry in that area? Meanwhile, Rav Nachman told us that you cannot do that. Now, it's difficult to imagine that Rav Nachman is arguing with the Brisa. So the Gemara says, Ki itmar de Rav Nachman, am mezid itmar. Rav Nachman was only describing mezid, meaning that if the walls were put up intentionally, knowing full well that on Shabbos you're not allowed to put up walls, you're not allowed to create a reshus on Shabbos, and nevertheless the person did it intentionally, then, even though halachically the halacha recognizes the walls, the area circumscribed by the walls is in fact a reshus yachid, but the Chachamim made a kenas, the Chachamim penalized that because the walls were made on Shabbos, b'mezid, so therefore one cannot carry in that area. That's the only time that Rav Nachman says that you cannot enjoy the benefit of those walls that were put up on Shabbos. But if they were done b'shogeg, or b'onis, or muta, or it was done b'misasek, so then one could in fact enjoy the area circumscribed by those walls. The Gemara continues, Amar Shmuel. Okay, that finishes our topic regarding the Chiddush of the Mishnah, when I have boats that are next to one another. And the reason why one is, in fact, allowed to carry from one boat to another is because they're tied together and an Erev Chatzeros was made, so that all the areas now are unified, allowing to carry from one Rishus Yachid to another Rishus Yachid. Last discussion to be had in today's daf. Amar Shmuel v'afilu kishuris b'chud asar ba. Now we're saying that the boats have to be tied together. What do they have to be tied together? What kind of secured fastener is considered halachically valid, so that the boats are considered now tied securely, clearly secured and tied together. So Shmuel says, chuta saval. It doesn't have to be a strong rope. It could be the kind of rope that, generally speaking, is strong enough to hold the boats, but we're not talking about chains, and it could just simply be a rope. Now, hechidam idi achola amidam shita idein achola amidam amai. So the Gemara says, now, let's talk about how strong these ropes we're talking about are. If these ropes cannot hold these boats together, the boats are just simply too big and will easily snap the ropes, so then I can't imagine that the halacha gives any regard to these ropes whatsoever. And if these ropes are strong enough where they can hold the boats together, so then why is Shmuel teaching us the chiddush? So the Gemara says, La'olam diyachol la'amidam. The ropes are strong enough to hold the boats together. And the reason why Shmuel feels that this is a chiddush is because what you may end up doing is confusing it with another halacha that Shmuel himself said. Shmuel is just reminding everybody that I did say another halacha as it relates to boat, and in that other halacha I demanded that it has to be metal chains, but that was specific to that particular case, which we're going to see in just a moment. But in our case over here, in terms of just holding the boats together, so that the boats now are considered secured and one in one area, and allowing for the area of Chatzeros. So over here, Shmuel wants to make sure that people do not confuse his halacha over here. That's why over here he has to go out of his way to say that it can even be a chuta sarval, as opposed to the other halacha, which we're going to see in just a moment, where there he demands chains be actually used. What is the other halacha? Not it's the Mishnah and Olos. The Mishnah and Olos is talking about where there is a mace, there's human remains, and that human remains is now is now connected to some sort of ohel, and that ohel now is fastened to the boat. Now the halacha is, and we'll see in just a moment, that if what is connecting the ohel to the boat is going to be chains, metal chains, so those metal chains now are going to conduct the tumah. And now we'll see in just a moment how that could be, but they are going to conduct the tumah, and there it has to be metal chains. Let's see all this inside. Kshur b'davar hamamida. If let's say the ohel ha'meis is tied to the boat with something that is strong and is going to secure it, maybe la tumah. And b'davar she'in ma'amida, ain maybe la tumah. However, if the ohel ha'meis is not being secured to the boat with something that's going to really hold, so then the tumah is not going to be communicated from the ohel ha'meis to the boat. Now, Rashi does remind us over here that we go back to the ninth parak of our Masechta, and one of our discussions that we had, remember, ninth parak, potpourri of different topics. So one of the topics that came up in the ninth parak on Pei Gimel Amud Beis was whether a boat is mekabel tumah at all. And so Rashi over here says that we're going to have to say that the boat here under our discussion is a smaller boat, that the Sfinas HaYarden, which according to some can be mekabel tumah. Anyway, a good reminder of what we learned earlier. Anyway, the Gemara says that Shmuel ve'amar Shmuel. Now Shmuel on this mission Olo says, what does that mean? That connecting the boat to the Olam Eis is going to be something that's securing it. Meaning, ve'amar Shmuel v'hu shekshur b'shashel shabarzel. It has to be made of iron chains. Le'inyan tumo hu dechsiv b'chalal cherev. Cherev harehu kechalal. Because we know that when it comes to the conduction of tuma, as it relates to tumas ha'meis, so if it is metal, so metal, what a metal kli can do is not only transfer the tumas ha'meis, but to the same degree as the mace itself, or as the same degree as the tumas ha'meis. So that means to say that if you have an ohel ha'meis, which is an avatumah, and next to it is going to be something of metal, so that metal now is going to be transferring the tumah on the same level. So that means that chain now is also going to be an avatumah. Because otherwise, think about it, if the chain itself is not an avatumah, and the chain is only a rishon, and the chain now is connected to the boat at best is now coming into contact with a rishon atumah. A kli does not become tameh from a rishon, a kli only becomes tameh from an av. So therefore, the only way this works is because the chain itself is the same degree of tumah as the ohel ha'meis. The ohel ha'meis is an avatumah, the chain is an avatumah, that's why the boat becomes tameh. Aval le'inyan Shabbos. So fine. So when that Mishnah in Oholos, right? The Gemara is assuming, of course, you know the Mishnah in Oholos, right? I'd love to say that. But of course, we know the Mishnah in Oholos. And you know Shmuel's comment on the Mishnah in Oholos, that in order for the tumah to communicate from the ohel ha'meis to the boat, it needs to be a chain. And so therefore, one could have easily envisioned that over here, oh, we're talking about boats, we're talking about securing boats. Oh, I need a chain as well. And that's why Shmuel had to go out of his way over here to say, no, I don't need a chain. And that's exactly the point of the Gemara. Aval le'inyan Shabbos kevin diyachol ha'amida afilo b'chutar savel. As long as the rope is strong enough to hold and secure the boats together, so then that would be sufficient, and you don't need a chain in order to hold the boats together. That's the only reason why Shmuel had to go out of his way to say it over here that it could be a rope, because in the Mishnah in Olos, he said a chain. Okay, and it gives us now a chance to recap our daf today. Our daf today started off with a discussion regarding bringing water onto the boat, and throwing wastewater off the side of the boat. Bringing it onto the boat, a machlokas amarayim, exactly how to do so, and it's a function of the ocean being a karmelis, where is that measured from? The bed of the water, or the surface area of the water, machlokas amarayim, which will then speak to what kind of structure needs to be put over the side of the boat in order so that you could bring the water, which is from possibly a karmelis, onto the boat, which is a rishus yachid. And in terms of throwing the water off the boat, what you could do is, even without a structure, you could throw it off the boat by throwing the water onto the exterior side of the boat and allowing that water now to drip down. Why is that allowed? The reason why that's allowed is predicated on the principle of koach, meaning that because we're talking about transferring into a karmelis, so therefore, the Chachamim did not make the gzera of koach. Sorry, let me say it better. The Chachamim did not make the gzera of karmelis when the transfer is done not directly, but al yidei koach. Okay, That was our first big idea for the day. Our second big idea of the day is Bitzasa Demeshan, where the Gemara here discussed extensively. It was a major part of today's daf. The Bitzasa Demeshan, these small boats, where they taper down. So at the base of the boat, you did not have an area of dal by dalin. These walls now of the boat, on the sides of the boat, are kind of just kind of hanging out there. They're suspended in midair. What in halach is referred to as a mechitza tluya. And as a result of that, so therefore this boat now does not have the status of Rishus Yachid. Rashi describes it as a karmelis. I didn't get a chance today to go over Tosus' objections to Rashi in terms of why Tosus doesn't like Rashi's pshat. Tosus gives a totally different pshat in terms of describing what this Bitzasa Demeshan is. For more on that, you can see the Tosus Divrei Maskal, Hani Bitzasa Demeshan. Anyway, these walls are suspended and they got nowhere to go. They're not going down halakhically to the base of the boat. And so what do we say? Do we say that Mechitzas Tluyas, that the walls that are suspended, do we employ the idea of good achis, that the halacha allows us to view the walls to continue to drop down? And this was a major discussion in today's daf. We had cases like the basket on the top of a pole. We had cases of a pillar, where the pillar tapers in just a little bit. The question of the boat, is it more comparable to the case of the basket? Is it more comparable to the case of the pillar? That occupy the majority of our day. And then on the Amud Beis today, two quick discussions that we had. One, what's the Chiddush of the Mishnah? The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that when the boats are tied together, even though the boats are owned by different people, one can make an Eruv Chatzeres to allow to carry from one boat to another. Just like an Eruv Chatzeres allows for people to carry from their home to another person's home, or from their home into another common area, but Rishus Yachid, so too, the same thing is true regarding boats. And finally, the boats have to be secured together with what? Shmuel says a rope. Doesn't have to be metal chains, even though in another halacha regarding Tumah Tahara, there was chains, but that was specific to Tumah Tahara. Over here, a rope would be sufficient.